Welcome to Narratives. India is one of those countries that seems to take a hold of the heart, with many people returning year after year to visit, trade, and marvel at its culture and way of life. It's such an overwhelming experience for many Westerners. Perhaps we all need the sort of company that Barbara Carmichael was fortunate enough to have on her adventures. She was introduced in India to Tarun, a friend of a friend, who introduced her to his wife and sisters and treated her like one of the family. In this extract from her book, she recounts how she sets off with a strange guide to visit a fort and finds the experience a little unsettling. But there's still a reassuring phone call from Tarun.
Next morning, Bridget had some work to do, so organised for me to go and see the fort. Unfortunately, Umesh, her driver, had double booked and sent another driver. He seemed nice enough, but made me feel nervous when he began issuing instructions. "If anyone stops us, you must say that we are friends, not that I am your driver," he told me after Umesh left. "I'll take you to the fort and wait for you." I wish Tarun were there. He would be able to tell me how to handle the situation. I climbed into the front seat, as there were no seat belts in the back. My driver informed me that he had just picked up his car that morning. He was so proud. It was brand new, so much so that it still had the plastic covering on the upholstery. I knew because I was sticking to it and wondered if he had just picked up his license as well. "You are my first customer," he told me proudly. I would never have guessed. I tried to look relaxed. We were off to a jerky start. I was doing battle with the plastic on the seat, my only comfort coming from the line of religious figures that were arranged on the front dashboard. The driver seemed nervous and drove at a snail's pace. There was a crunch as he changed gears. I tried to concentrate on other things, but then in doing so, noticed the length of the hairs growing out the top of his ears. He tried to make me feel at ease, but his running commentary was interrupted by his intense concentration each time the gear stick failed to engage. "You can stay at my house next time you come," he told me. I pretended not to hear and looked out the window. The trip was a series of spasmodic stops and starts, and apologies from him each time it happened, as my back peeled off the plastic lining like sticky tape, and at least allowed a little air on my damp blouse, before I was jolted back in my seat once again, stuck to the plastic. Finally, we arrived at the fort. "I will collect you here in 1.5 hours, he said, as he pointed to a meeting spot. I looked up at the fort, noticing the steep climb. At the lower entrance were groups of men, dirty, grubby old men, posing as guides and accosting tourists. I was an obvious target. "I'll be your guide, ma'am." "No, thank you." "But you need a guide, ma'am." "No." The stench of their body odor turned my stomach. I jostled my way past them, finding myself walking faster, but they followed me, calling out. I ignored them and walked even faster. It was a steep climb, and my hot pink blouse was noticeably wet and clung to me. An old woman sheltering from the heat under a piece of old tarpaulin tried to prop herself up with her makeshift walking stick, a broken tree branch, and held out her hand pleadingly. She looked hungry and tired, and I pressed a gold coin into her deformed fingers as I dashed past. She offered a toothless smile of thanks. I was relieved to reach the top and took a seat on a low wall in the shade. There was a slight breeze that I hoped would dry my blouse. My long damp hair clung uncomfortably to the back of my neck as I caught my breath. From there, I could see the boundary walls meandering their way for miles in all directions, with sheltering turrets at each outlook. The distant hills merged with the sky in the haze of the midday heat. It was an incredible fortress and built in such a manner to be able to see the enemy approaching from any and every direction. I looked down to see yet another tourist running the gauntlet to pass the group of filthy vagabonds. Tarun texted me, "How are you? How is Jaipur?" I answered him, "I'm missing my travel guide." I thought about my driver and the jerky ride I would have back down to the hotel. Below in the courtyard, a line of elephants stood patiently waiting to take tourists down the mountainside. The poor animals looked so tired after repeated trips up the steep hill to the fort. My peace was short-lived when I was pestered by more guides, so ended up attaching myself to the end of a British tour group where I felt less conspicuous. Two Indian women in traditional dress posed for photos and smiled sweetly for the camera when paid, but otherwise turned their backs, anything to get some sort of payment from the tourists. The walk down was easier and my trusty driver was waiting. We made our way down the mountainside, following one of the elephants, my inexperienced driver traveling a little too close behind the huge animal. Like rain from the heavens, the elephant lifted its tail, and my goodness, I had never seen anything like it. Huge dollops of elephant poo fell from the sky just ahead of us. I wish I had gotten a photo of my driver's face. We brake suddenly, and all his gods and goddesses on the dashboard hit the windscreen. He gave me an awkward smile and rearranged the dash before continuing. I finally arrived at Diggy Palace exhausted.
You've been listening to Barbara Carmichael reading from her travel memoir, I've Come to Say Goodbye. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Bay FM 99.9 for the Community Broadcasting Network and is part of the Narratives Library Project.